Blog Talk Radio.
And all inclusive.
Welcome to the Pittsburgh Steelers On the Clock Draft Special. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant. We appreciate you taking some time and listening to the show today. A lot to get to with only 16 days remaining before things get underway in New York City. Obviously, this is a very fun time of year. This is what we do here at the NFL Draft Bible, talking football. And if we want to talk about Pittsburgh Steelers football, one of the people on the inside that knows the team inside and out, it is Ken Leard of the Trib Live Radio, or if you want to go Pittsburgh Trib Review. Ken, how you doing tonight?
All right, Bill. What's going on?
Nothing, man. We appreciate you taking some time. Obviously, a busy time of the year. If people want to hear you on the radio when they're driving around Pittsburgh or just listening on the Internet, how can they find you and when you want?
Best place to go is right on the Pittsburgh Tribune Review's main website, triblive.com, and there's a link right up there and all our blogs and podcasts and everything else, Droid applications and iTunes, you name it. We'll be talking football all year long. 3 to 4 is our big Steelers hour, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we've been dipping into some draft talk. Obviously, you guys are knee-deep in it, but 2 weeks away, I can't believe it.
And what are the Pittsburgh, what's the fan base want, Ken? When you're talking to the people and they come on the show, I mean, what do they want to see? What direction do they want the Steelers to take come April 28th?
You know what, to be from all the people that I've chatted with, I think Mike Pouncey's name, now that Marquise has done so well, has become sort of the gold standard of this draft. I mean, I don't know how he's going to be there at 31, but I think that's the dream, that somehow he slips down to them or they can make a trade to get up and grab him. I think the other obvious need for this team is cornerback, but, you know, Patrick Peterson's certainly not going to be there, and I would say that Prince will not be there either. So once you get beyond those two guys, I think most Steelers fans are in kind of a, well, I trust Kevin Colbert. Let's see what's available at 31, but it's certainly not going to be any elite corner.
And do you think the Steelers do anything? I mean, I know it's obvious the two big needs are the offensive line and then the secondary. By chance, do you see the Steelers throwing like a curveball out there and taking another position? And if they would go that route, what, you know, position would you see or envision them taking that would kind of not look the part?
Well, you know, one thing with the Steelers and Kevin Colbert, when they pick this late, they've had a kind of a knack of finding a guy who is the best at his position in kind of a year of position scarcity. For instance, you know, Heath Miller was a guy who had injury concerns with his sports hernia when he came out in the draft, and he slid on a lot of folks' board, but they ended up getting the best tight end that year. Santonio Holmes was the best receiver in a bad year for wide receivers when he came out, and they went up and snagged him. And when I look around this year, I find myself wondering, would Mark Ingram still be there for them when they took at 31 in kind of a year where everybody's bashing the running back crop? He might be a nice compliment to Rashard Mendenhall as a guy who could come in and spell him and do a little bit of everything. He's not a franchise back, but he'd be a nice little compliment for this team. The Notre Dame tight end is a little intriguing to me. I think he might be there, Rudolph, and they need more of a pass-catching guy than they do a blocker anyway with Heath Miller. Two tight end sets are something they've done a little bit of, and Matt Spaeth may be going away here pretty soon based on how free agency turns out. So I find myself wondering whether two offensive guys, Rudolph or Ingram, would be in their plans.
And that's why we have Ken Leard on, once again, Trib Live Radio or the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, where you can find him. And that's why we bring these type of guys on the show, because they know the team inside and out, and they can bring you a perspective like no other. Ken, looking at free agency, obviously nothing can get done until the NFL lockout is ended and things resume back to normal. But if we were in free agency, who are some of the big agents that are going to hit the market for the Steelers and vice versa? Who would be some of the guys that you might think they might be looking to bring in?
You know, it's funny. Usually this time of year, we're already through the free agency period. It's also backwards, and I guess it's going to depend on the draft and how it goes. Ike Taylor will be their big free agent. They decided to keep Lamar Woodley around via the franchise tag, but Ike is unprotected right now, so I'm sure they'll have a small window whenever this labor deal gets done to take a look at him. But I think Ike and his agent right now, though, would be crazy not to at least test the water. And will the Steelers pay top dollar for him? I'm not sure they will. I don't think they view corner as sort of a position on their defense that they're willing to really break the bank for somebody. So is Ike going to take a little hometown discount to stay or not? If he goes, I could see them going out and grabbing sort of a mid-level corner. To be honest with you, the corner crop that is going to be available this year, Ike is probably at the top of the list, I would assume, now that a few guys have gone already, the Stanford routes of the world. So they'd be dipping into a little bit of the coffers. And this has not been a real big free agent team as far as going out and getting guys. They have 13 free agents of their own, so I think they'll just try to sign as many as they can from the pool. And I wouldn't be surprised if they otherwise really played it pretty calm on the free agent market.
And how about a guy like Aaron Smith? I mean, he's one of the pinnacle players on that defense, but he's been banged up the last couple years. When did they go after a draft? I know Ziggy Hood was brought in, but, you know, besides Ziggy, when do they kind of start addressing the rebuilding process there?
Yeah, it's something they need to think about for sure. In fact, they had Phil Taylor in the nose tackle today for a look as one of their 30 draft visits down at the Southside facility here in Pittsburgh. So I wonder if they might consider going that way in round two to kind of shore up the middle. Casey Hampton, they were signed a year ago to a three-year deal, but Chris Hoke, his backup, is going to be a free agent, and that might be a little more area of pressing need. At least they have Brett Kiesel and Ziggy Hood. Plus, you know that Aaron will be back next year, and I think hungry to put in at least another one good season. You know, they could certainly bring in sort of a role supplementary guy. They've had, Nick Easton here for a few years, who has done a nice job, and I could see them bringing him back at the right price.
And we're on the clock, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the draft breakdown. Remember, every Monday through Friday, 6:30 here on Blog Talk Radio, you can check out the latest On the Clock show featuring a different team every single night. And tonight, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They went down in the Super Bowl to the Green Bay Packers. Looking back at that game, the turnovers were plenty, but, you know, in the end, just like many of the Steeler games, they're always kind of in it at the end with a chance to win the game. Looking back at that game, what were your thoughts, Ked?
Well, you know, I think the lasting memory will be Rashard Mendenhall's fumble. That's the big play. And watching some of the excellent shows on the NFL Network, the sound effects show, they really, you know, went inside the huddle and got some of the audio from Clay Matthews, where he seemed to be reading that play before it happened. He knew, or at least he had guessed, an educated guess, they were going to pull right towards him. So maybe the Steelers got a little too predictable. But, the other big mistakes in the game came from Ben Roethlisberger. And that was not really expected. At least I thought he would play better than he did. He missed what would have been a short touchdown throw and a deep ball to Mike Wallace. And he didn't have his best game. He wasn't, completely horrible. I think there was a chance early. It looked like they were going to get the doors blown out, but they hung in there. They lost to a good team. Granted, one that had lost their best corner for most of the game, so there's some disappointment there. They left one on the table a little bit, and I heard a couple of people chatting down there that maybe the Steelers were a little overconfident coming in, which would be hard to believe given everything that Ben had gone through in the offseason and all the adversity, but they certainly didn't play as well as they could have.
And, that fumble by Mendenhall, it did seem like momentum was in the favor of the Steelers. The first play of the fourth quarter, the ball goes up in the air. But prior to that, the Steelers really looked like they were going to take control and the lead of that game. Is this like an Ernest Byner-type fumble for him? Is this something that's going to haunt him? Or do you think it's something the Steelers fans really aren't going to remember quite like the Byner fumble?
Well, some of the worst moments in Steelers history, in Super Bowl, their one Super Bowl loss prior to Dallas, everybody remembers the Neil O'Donnell interceptions to Larry Brown, and those have not been forgotten, here, that was 1995, we're 16 years after the fact. So I think, Steelers fans are so knowledgeable about their team, they will always remember that fumble, but I'm not sure it will be placed in the same category of sort of dread as those O'Donnell picks where he left here in pretty ugly fashion, went to New York and signed a big contract. Rashard will be back and have a chance to redeem himself a little bit. He made one mistake, not two, whereas some other guys played poorly around him as well. Like Taylor got beat on a couple of balls. Aaron Rodgers was good. I don't think it's going to be remembered in quite that way, but I think it will always be sort of a footnote for his career for sure.
Well, I'm curious because, like I said, you talk to the fans every day. You know what the vibe is, in the Steel City. So I was just interested to get that take on, what their perspective moving forward is. Looking to this season, Super Bowl, I don't know how, you know, I don't think the Steelers were a team that you counted out that couldn't make it, but, you know, it's obviously hard to get back. I mean, what are your thoughts moving forward, you know, once the season, just assuming the season gets, you know, going as normal, I mean, what are your thoughts? Another Super Bowl run in this team?
Well, you know, they really, I think, kind of lucked out with the NFL lockout, to be honest with you. I mean, there will be a handful of teams just sort of eliminated, depending how long this goes. I can't imagine what some of the new coaches are dealing with, even in Cleveland, you know, bringing in new coordinators to try to put a team together without having players in-house. I mean, that's the one big advantage for a team like Pittsburgh. They have such a veteran group. So I really think there's, particularly early in the year, we'll have an edge on some teams. I think they'll be in the mix. The division will come down to Baltimore and Pittsburgh again. It seems like it always does. And I think they've got a shot. And I think the fact that Roethlisberger played so poorly, he seems to be a guy that does bounce back pretty well. I would think he's going to sort of be driven this year to come back and make another run at it.
And, Ken, looking at this team from last year and kind of looking forward to what's next, this team from last year, I mean, what are some of the things that strike you as something they struggled with where you didn't think they would? And what are some of the things that kind of look better than, you know, than what you actually thought when the season ended?
Good question. I think, you know, the offensive line, obviously Marquise Pouncey's ability to step in as a rookie impressed a lot of folks, and they ran the ball a lot better than some people thought they would. They've had some injury issues with tackle, and so can Max Starks come back healthy, and will Willie Colon be a part of this team on the right side? The receivers really impressed, including Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown, two rookies, and it was kind of a joke that Mike Tomlin, the head coach, would never put rookies in his lineup. Well, he did. Those guys took a big step. They're also going to get Lima Swede back, theoretically, here, and should have a good core of receivers. So I think those were the two big surprising parts of the year for this squad. And, you know, with some quarterback issues early with Ben's suspension, they seem to piece it together. But I think the secondary is obviously the big concern, and they're going to be coming under continued scrutiny. Troy's getting older and doesn't seem to be able to stay healthy for a full year. And in a passing league, that's a big concern for this team going forward.
Once again, Ken Leard knows Pittsburgh Steelers football inside and out. Trib Live Radio, as well as the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You can always check Ken out there. And like I said, when you're talking Steelers football, definitely one guy that can lay down the law. Ken, I mean, looking at these young guys, the Emmanuel Sanders, the Antonio Brown, some of the young, Jason Worlds, a lot of young, guys coming in. I'm so glad you brought up a guy like Lima Swede, because with the talent of Brown and Sanders, they played so well. A lot of people don't think there's room on the roster still for Lima Swede. What do you think about him? I mean, does he still have a place here in Pittsburgh to be on this team?
Well, he's going to really have to impress. The fact that Hines probably has a year left makes it intriguing that, you know, would they keep an extra guy around? He's not a big special teams factor either. I mean, the thing that I felt bad for Lime is he had come back after he had left the team, and it seemed like he had some personal issues to get through. He had come back last season and really looked like he had turned a corner. He got a new jersey number. He told us it was the new Limus, and promptly went out and was injured and done for the year. So it's been frustrating for him. I think the coaches certainly need for him to prove it. And so depending how much preseason is lost with the lockout, that's going to hurt him. I mean, preseason games are going to be gigantic. But he has so much talent. I mean, just, you know, from a big receiver with with ability to separate, and he still has that huge catching radius. The Steelers miss a guy like that, a little Plexico Burris flavor from years past. Their coordinators claims he's not big on tall receivers, but he gives them something the other guys don't, and that's size. So I think he's going to be in the mix.
Is there any chance, Ken, that the team would bring Plexico Burris back?
So he's going to be getting out of jail here in a few weeks, I guess. I wouldn't rule it out completely because, Mike Tomlin is willing to take some chances. From what I understand, he was interested in Mike Vick when he was first available, although the quarterback put a nix to that idea. So he's not opposed to going out and getting, quote-unquote, guys with baggage or problem guys, but I think it would be almost hard to imagine Plex coming back here based on the way he left. It was just an odd departure. He went for more money in the big city, and I'm not sure that would sit real well with Steelers fans, or they would think it was worth the risk.
Great insight. Well, hey, Ken, we appreciate you coming on. Love the insight you brought to us. So I'm going to put you on the clock. April 28th, you're sitting there with the 31st pick. You're going to take over for Kevin. You're going to make the selection. Who are you taking if they're there?
Boy, so hard to predict who's going to be there at 31. I think they're going to go offensive line, though. And I think they're going to take either the Baylor interior guard, or I think they might be looking at, hopefully, Solder, I think, would be there for them, the big man from Colorado at 6'8". So let me take a stab in the dark here 2 weeks away and say they take Nate Solder with the obviously the possibility that he is not there and he is off the board at that point. But I think they're going to go offensive line for sure.
No, great stuff. Well, thanks. Hey, Ken, we appreciate you taking some time and joining us on the clock for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You got it.
And that is Ken Leard of the Trib Live Radio, or the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, talking NFL draft with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as promised, we're going to one of the players who plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was last year's rookie sensation, Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, my man.
We appreciate you taking some time. Now, you had the surgery a couple of days ago. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good right now. I'm actually up in Pittsburgh. I got my foot propped up and been playing video games for about a week now. So definitely on the pain management, definitely feeling good. Got another 2 weeks until I can run. I can't wait.
So this is kind of like a little bonus thing that you kind of don't have to worry about working out or anything. You just kind of sit and chill, like you said, just play video games and relax.
Yeah, it sounds all fun and dandy, but like me, I like going in the weight room and working out. I like getting better, and right now I feel like I'm behind. So once I be able to run in 2 weeks, I'm definitely going to take my grind into a full throttle and maybe 2 days or 3 days, because right now I'm not feeling too good.
And, Emmanuel, you had a great rookie season. Prior to you coming on, Mike Tomlin is known as a guy that might not play many rookies, but you and along with Antonio Brown, you guys really, and Marquise Pouncey, I mean, you guys definitely, made that a non-issue for Tomlin. I mean, rookies stepped in a big way helping that offense. I mean, Ben missed 5 games, but you guys still played. You ended up going to the Super Bowl. Talk about your rookie season to the listeners out there. I mean, looking back, how do you feel about it?
I feel really good about it. I just wish that we could have went on and won the Super Bowl, but guess what? Next year we're going to come back even more hungrier. But the rookie year definitely was a great one. You know, to go to the Super Bowl as a rookie is definitely a blessing within itself. And that whole season, I mean, it was a lot of ups and downs. You know, I had a few injuries, a few knacks here and there, but the end result ended up being good, and like I said, next year we're going to come back hungry, and we're going to have to get number 7 and bring it back to Pittsburgh.
Well, the Pittsburgh fans listening to that, definitely that's the attitude they want to hear. Do you feel 100% comfortable now when you kind of line up, or are you still kind of finding the nuances of the game, or was there a particular play or moment this past season where you kind of said, okay, I got this, I know what to do now?
Yeah, I think it was the first playoff game against Baltimore. That's when I really found out that what I'm capable of doing in this league and how comfortable I am in the playbook, because once the playoffs started, there were no middle mistakes out there happening. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it right now. You know, even though I got my leg propped up, I still got my playbook next to me right now because I want to know the full system of it. I want to know what everyone has to do, every single receiver. And I think that's going to end up being a bonus for me when they end this lockout and things get started.
Yeah, and in terms of that lockout, has there been any effects that you've kind of felt? I mean, it's almost a month into it. I mean, have you felt, the pressure of the lockout yet, or is this thing still kind of normal?
Things are still kind of normal to me because, this is last year was my first year, so I don't really know how offseason goes in the NFL, so I don't know if it's normal or not, and I'm pretty sure some veteran guys are probably saying that it's not normal right now, but for me, it's just regular,
And before we get to last year, because I want to talk about this experience, I mean, you played at SMU. SMU's right down there in the heart of Dallas. You go down there for the Super Bowl. I mean, what was that like, having the Super Bowl, but yet you were so close to campus? I mean, talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, it was definitely a thrill, you know, to go back to Texas, and not only to Texas, to Dallas, like you said, where I played college ball at. Definitely had a large fan base, and I'm real close to the media base out there, so it definitely ended up being a good situation. And, you know, a lot of my family got to come out. Even though they didn't get to go to the game, I got to see them before the game, so it was definitely a blessing.
And kind of, I mean, weird. I mean, your rookie season, you end up, you know, with a chance to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a lot, you know, on your plate in 1 year. I mean, looking back, I mean, obviously the disappointment of losing, but, I mean, how would you, you know, grade your rookie season on a scale 1 to 10?
On a scale 1 to 10, I would have to say 8 because there's always room for improvement.
Nice.
You know, there's plenty of things that I need to get better as a rookie. I need to get in the playbook. I need to learn how to be a better pro, in which that's getting in the cold tub and breaking down more film. And, you know, Hines has done a great job of helping me out. But, like I said, right now on the scale, it's 8, and because there's always room for improvement.
And once again, Emmanuel Sanders, the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, joining us here on the Clock Draft Show for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And all the folks listening out there, Emmanuel is one guy I stop by the locker room after every game just to get a little perspective on you. And I'm telling you, I mean, Emmanuel, you still say it today. I mean, I can't remember how many times. It could have been week 2, week 4, week 9. You were always talking about the final destination, reaching the Super Bowl. And you did it. And I just, you know, I love that competitiveness. It's not about, you know, personal achievements. It's all about the goal, the ultimate goal. And especially playing for the Steelers, I mean, you know up front what the goal are, and that's, you know, to get number 7. Looking back at your teammates, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, definitely. To go back on what you said, is to all the listeners, that's how I take the approach, in which, you know, I always try to enjoy the journey of everything. And like you said, every time you came into my locker, I was always talking about the end result. And, you know, there's no greater feeling than setting a goal early in training camp and then us as a team making it all the way to the Super Bowl. And if we would have won it, it would have been a greater feeling. But like I said, we're going to bring number 7 back.
Nice. And looking at that rookie year, you guys, it seemed like the Young Money crew, you and Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, you guys call Hines Ward Old Money. It seems like a very close-knit unit. Talk a little bit about, you know, the fun you share with those guys.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely fun. I think that's the reason why we got an opportunity to go all the way to the Super Bowl, because we were having so much fun. I think sometimes people forget that this is a game that we play and that you got to have fun with it. And, you know, Mike Wallace came up with the whole Young Money family and started giving us individual names, and it took off from there. And, you know, that whole thing kind of had us relaxed, you know, because now it's no more single out receivers. We're a unit, you know what I mean? We're the Young Money family. We got to go out here and make these plays, and we got to win this ball game.
And it is, and it's fun watching you guys, and it's fun. I mean, it was just great. I mean, after OTAs last year, you guys would be sitting around catching the tennis balls, kind of having the competitions, you and Antonio going at it, and Mike helping you guys. You could just see the bonding early on, and obviously it transpired to great rookie seasons and then just a great offensive season as well for the Steelers. Emmanuel, 16 days remain before the NFL draft. You were going through this experience last year. I mean, was that, you know, from the time you played your bowl game to the time you got drafted, was that the longest maybe 4 or 5 months that you've experienced so far?
Yeah, it definitely was. I think that was when I was at my most focused also and when working extremely hard. But it was definitely fun. Like I said, I enjoyed the journey. I set my goals out in which I wanted to be a second to third round pick. And prior to the draft, they had me rated 7th, 6th round. So, you know, I got invited to the Shrine Game. I knew I had to go out there and prove myself at the Shrine Game, in which I did. And then I got an opportunity coming from a small school. You know, every small school guy has to take advantage of going to the combine and being on the stage with the LSUs and the Miamis and the big-name schools. And so I saw it as an opportunity for me, and all the hard work that I had put in when I went out to California to train, even though it was a long 4 months, it all paid off at the combine.
No, definitely. And I like to ask the guys that have already made it to the NFL, I mean, where did you think you were headed on draft day? I mean, who kind of stuck out in your mind as a team you might be heading to?
I thought I was going to go to the New England Patriots. I had met with Belichick twice. I flew out to New England, met him at the combine. The offensive coordinator came to SMU, worked me out. I talked to him on the phone several times, and they had 3 second-round picks. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go to the New England Patriots. So then they traded down. They had 3, and they traded down to, like, pick 86. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to go in the third to New England, pick 86. And next thing you know, I get a call from a 412 number. So it ended up being the Pittsburgh Steelers. And definitely was a good situation.
Definitely. I love hearing that perspective because, I mean, you know, like you just said, you might be thinking you're going somewhere and then the team drafts down. We had John Thornton, the former Jaguar Bengal. He had a 10-year vet, and he talked about how he thought he was going to the Jags. And right before the Jags went the pick, they ended up trading out of the pick. And then he said to himself, I don't know where I'm going now. But, you know, he ended up going, you know, or the Jags took him. I'm sorry, he thought he was going to the Colts. But it was just ironic. I love that story. Well, hey, Emmanuel, I hope you get healthy soon, and you'll be back training. I know how fit you are down there. And like I said, stay healthy, and I can't wait to see what you bring in your second season.
All right. Thanks, my man. Take care.
No problem. That is Emmanuel Sanders, one of the top rookies from last year's draft class, joining us here on the clock. And it was fun, you know, watching him grow SMU and then, you know, East-West Shrine, the combine. He arrives at the Steelers, and like I said, since the OTAs, you could just see that he was going to blossom. And for people, I mean, like he talked about on the show as well, I mean, SMU isn't a school that you're going to see every weekend, but he was definitely one player that, you know, the NFL draft Bible ranked very highly. We were very high on him. And I remember talking with Ken Leard, you know, on some draft shows prior to that, talking about, you know, this would be definitely one guy the Steelers might go. And I'm not saying that I said, hey, pick this guy, but he was definitely a guy that was talented enough and that he proved that along with, you know, Antonio Brown and Mike Wallace. They form one of the nicest young wide receiving trios out there in the NFL. We want to appreciate Ken Leard coming on the clock. We want to appreciate Pittsburgh Steeler Emmanuel Sanders coming on the clock, joining us here to talk NFL draft and Pittsburgh Steelers football. If you missed the beginning of this broadcast, simply go to www.nfldraftbible.com. There you can listen to this podcast and you can download it. But we appreciate all you folks listening. I think the Steelers go defensive back late in the first round. That's the direction I think they're headed. You know, I know Ken and we've talked a few times. He's looking at the offensive line. I think the offensive line, kind of, I think, you know, sometimes when you go through those injuries and like they did, I think, you know, those guys get a lot of experience, and it'd be hard to imagine them having that type of wrath of injuries plague them 2 years in a row. And even if you do, nobody's ready for that type, even if you draft some depth, because they're still going to be rookies. But like I said, I think they look to go defensive back. I think they look to improve that secondary. I mean, the NFL is going to the air. And that's definitely a position I think they want to stock up on. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant. Remember, every Monday through Friday, on the clock shows at 6:30, and then every Thursday it's the Draft Digest show. You can listen to that as well. That's on between 5 and 6 Eastern. Thanks for listening. And remember, www.nfldraftbible.com for your latest NFL draft news.